BRICS summit concluded this week in Rio de Janeiro with 11 nations signing the joint declaration of the 17th BRICS summit, entitled Strengthening Global South, Cooperation for More Inclusive and Sustainable Governance, and calling for the strengthening of multilateral organizations, defending international law, and striving for a more equitable global order. Online, Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director of the Democracy Development Program and convener of the African Policy Circle at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. Dr. Paul Kariuki, welcome.
Thank you so much, Shafiq, for having me on the show, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Now I know why Trump was going off a little bit last week about international affairs and threatening BRICS countries, because they signed this deal and they were talking about things like multilateralism, international law, and equitable global order, which are all contradictory to the current model of the White House.
Exactly, and you characterize it correctly, because the coming together of such a bloc present a significant contribution to the global trade arrangement, and of course squeezes, if I use that word, America's involvement and influence to a large extent on the global trade negotiations. I think it's important for us to remember that this group of BRICS now that is now being expanded contributes almost to 29% of the global GDP. That translates to almost $30 trillion million dollars on their own. That's a significant contribution, and therefore the idea of coming together to coalesce as an economic bloc, of course, squeezes out America's interest in a very big way. And of course, that makes President Trump to want to react to it in the manner that he has reacted to it. But as you and I know, is that global winds do not spare anyone, even the strongest. So the courage here for the blocks, the BRICS bloc, to come together and start, you know, reshifting their priorities and trying to coalesce to become a multilateral voice that can be resonated with, of course, it will shift America's interest in the global trade. And now we're going to see a lot of back and forth between the U.S. administration and either individual BRICS member states or with the BRICS bloc itself as time goes on.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly shows a stiffening of resolve within the BRICS community. And of course, to me, in the long term, medium to long term, is actually shutting the United States out of 29 to 30% of the world's GDP, as you've just observed. So it's interesting, because this is almost signifying a change, a geopolitical change of the balance of economic power in the world, doesn't it?
It does, in a very big way, and also happening at a time when Africa per se is starting also to look at strategic alliances after the big shock that President Trump's administration has slapped the continent with the reduction of funding opportunities and even removal of some, and of course putting the continent in a very challenging position. So it's happening at a time when these global headwinds are making the African leadership to start exploring strategic alliances, even at the global level. And of course, BRICS provides an opportunity to start doing so and in trying to squeeze it, her voice and her interests into these global shifts that, you know, America has dominated for quite a long time. I mean, more importantly, to say that the summit now, with a new look into multilateralism, continues to give the American administration a lot of headache, because that's one thing that the American administration is not interested in at the moment. It's really pursuing a unilateral position. And that cannot happen at a time when the world needs each other. Most of these countries within the BRICS bloc need each other to be able to do business, number one, but also secondly, to ensure that there is still continuity in their economic growth agenda and priorities. It cannot be one-sided, in this case, the American growth only. I think the American administration is trying to bring the American Make America Great theme into a global space, which cannot work. Each country has its own priority and development agenda and needs to be respected as such. And so multilateralism works for the BRICS bloc's members because it's where they find an opportunity to exchange ideas and come together to stand against a very risky way of doing business that is formed by unilateralism. So in many ways, the bloc's membership is creating a niche that the world is now, the rest of the bloc members are now trying to react to what has happened on the global front. And I think it's, from my perspective, it's the way to go.
No, it certainly is. I mean, I've got this image in my mind. It might sound melodramatic, but I've got this image in my mind as fruit rots in the trees in California and soya beans just fall apart, that America has a drought and makes a call on Africa to send America food. That could happen.
That could happen. And of course, it's undesirable because as a continent, for what has happened aside to what America has done to the continent by, you know, removing some of the funding opportunities, is to send a very strong signal to the continent that it's about time that the continent stands on her own feet and uses the resources that has been naturally blessed with for our advantage on the global space. And so the idea of exploring, BRICS as a member is a good one on one hand. It presents a lot of opportunities, for example, for increased investment, increased trade with member countries, giving it Africa as a continent a diplomatic voice on global matters, etc. But also, it also brings with it some challenges. And I think it's important to mention for our listeners to understand some of the risks that the continent stands to be exposed with if the leadership on the continent is not speaking from one page. One of them, of course, is an issue of the power imbalances, even within the BRICS membership. We have some of the countries with very strong economies like Russia and China, Saudi Arabia, and then, but African continent, most of the member states there, like South Africa, Egypt, Ethiopia, they're still trying to become stronger, economies to be able to have a good voice within such platforms. So it's a risk on one hand, but also an opportunity on the other hand. The other thing, of course, to mention as a risk, of course, is to not to be caught in strategic rivalries that is happening right now in the global conflict. Russia is still very much involved in a war with Ukraine, and now we've just seen lately that Iran is also caught up in some level of conflict. It's also a member of the BRICS. We also know there has been simmering tensions between China and India, and this kind of conflicts can find their spilling their way into the continent because of that rivalry that is already existing. So as much as it's a platform to be celebrated, it's important to ensure that it does not become a risk to the continent's development agenda, and ensuring that the African interests are also prioritized. Otherwise, the voice of the continent will also be drowned out in this geopolitical noise that is taking place. And the third thing I wanted to mention is the risk of being exposed to debt, increasing debt. China has been playing a very big role development-wise on the continent, but we also know that it's well documented that most of these member states in Africa that are trade with China have accumulated significant debt that they are not able to respond to by their economies. Now we risk as a continent to be talking more of those kind of scenarios if this thing continues in a way that is not transparent in terms of trade agreements, and also that there is no caution to say our economies as a continent have not grown so fast to continue absorbing debts that we cannot pay back. And so it's an opportunity for increased trading, but it also poses serious risk as far as debt management is concerned on the continent. And the last thing I would like to bring in there is that with the idea of enjoying economic exposure and great platform, it's also important that the African continent leadership does not get to over rely on the BRICS as part of their development agenda, because over reliance can also make sure that the voice is drowned out, and that can be a risk in terms of how sustainable African membership on the BRICS could be in the future, and being exposed to other economic shocks that may be beyond the individual member states capacity to handle, for example, currency volatility and disruptions within supply chains. These are just some of the major risks that the continent is being exposed to if it's not going to pay attention to promoting its own development agenda without fear and favor.
And on that note, we have to leave this week's African Mirror. Next week, same time, different actors. Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director of the Democracy Development Program and convener at the Africa Policy Circle. We greet you until next week, but it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Shafiq, for having me on the show.